What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Rantpocalypse Talk Cinemax, Skybounds, and Robert Kirkman's Outcast. I'm Justin, the dog.
I'm Patch. I'm Kelly, the mom. But look at that sweet-ass beard I have.
It's kind of scary, though, with the way that the beard comes over your mouth and the way your lips are moving behind the mouth.
See, I can't see me really well, so I don't know. But I do know I put on some really awesome lipstick, and then I covered it with facial hair. So that was
the facial hair. It's a good look for you. It's a great look. I wonder if we can just keep this going the whole time. You think we can do an entire recap of Outcast just like this?
I think so. You're the cutest pirate puppy ever.
That's what I was going for. I mean, who wouldn't want a pirate puppy? I want one. I'm going to dress my dog Mac up like this as soon as we get done recapping this episode. The episode that we're going to be talking about is Season 1, Episode 4, A Wrath Unseen. The intrigue in Rome intensifies. Reverend Anderson uncovers shocking information about someone close to him, and Megan conceals a secret. What do you think about this episode? Did Outcast win you back over with Episode 4?
It did win me back over, and I was so excited to have that happen because, I mean, I was just so disappointed. We were both disappointed. We gave it 3.5 bacons, which is a super low score for us. it is. What are you laughing about?
It is a low score, but when you turn to the side, the facial hair gets even creepier.
Does it get weird? Oh, it does get weird. I mean, it's like it's like
my dog face. That's what it looks like.
That's just weird.
Yeah, it's awkward. It's awkward.
Okay, so we need to look straight at the camera.
Yes, no, we have to look straight at the camera with these faces on. So the episode it won you over though.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm so happy. I don't know what happened with episode 3. There was definitely a drop off in the writing as far as I'm concerned. Whatever happened, thank God we moved past it.
Yeah, I was glad to be back on track. And this one I thought was extremely tense, really exciting. I had no problems picking out a top 3 for this episode.
I just love the way this episode opened. We saw Norval. He had killed himself in last week's episode, but of course, as we talked about, that straight razor was there, and you see Sydney show up at
so
the funeral.
Creepy. Oh my God, and acting like that was his best buddy, and the fact that, oh yeah, Kyle, he talked about you all the time. He thought very highly of you. I would say they probably never met each other until right at the very end.
They've changed all of this up from the comic book, and I like that I like the changes that they've made from the comic book.
I'm sorry. No,
I know it's good. How can you take a pirate dog very seriously? But I am liking the changes that they've made from the comic book to the screen. Seeing Sydney interacting with Kyle and the Reverend a little bit more than he did in the comic book before you start to find out some crazy shit about Sydney, which I'm really, really enjoying. I'm going to miss Norval. That sucked. I did find it funny that they kind of bumblefucked his funeral up. I mean,
God, that's the last thing I want to have happen for the pallbearers to, you know, go to try to like pick up my casket and the hardware breaks off, you know, because what does that say about me?
So. I felt so bad for Norval. That's just lonely as shit. And I don't want to go out that way. I want to go first.
Okay. You want to go first. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I really hate that other person.
Then you want to go like, 20 years without them.
Yeah, exactly. Then I want to have a whole other life afterwards where I'm like, yeah, I'm hitting up the bingos down at the, you know, the VA.
The bingo hall. The bingo hall.
Yeah, the bingo hall. those are some fantastic places, people. But yeah, I really loved those moments in the opening of the episode. But you're right. This episode was way more tense. It was much, much more suspenseful. I loved all the stuff that they're doing with the characters other than Kyle and the Reverend, which is great. I did have quite a few questions that we'll get into after we do our top three, or it could be in the middle of our top three. So let's get to it. Let's get to our top three and then our overall score out of bacons for this episode.
Okay, so my number three was Megan out in the field with the thrift store glass, taking out all of her aggressions. The idea that she feels like she has to fake that everything is okay, that she deals with Kyle's crazy and she acts like she doesn't have any crazy. So she just, in the dark, goes out, smashes glass, doesn't tell her husband about it. At first, I thought she was going to go out and shoot it with the gun that she had pulled out of the closet, which I thought, you know, I mean, you're not going to be able to do that quietly. So I was happy to see that she pulled out a hammer.
And just smashed the shit out of those in like super slow motion. We all know those people though, right? The ones that they act like everything's great on the surface, but then every night they go home and they basically cry themselves to sleep because they can't come face to face with some of their emotions. I'm not saying that's Megan at all, because she obviously faced her demons head on in this episode, but it is weird that why can't you just talk to Mark about it? I mean, if you only knew, Mark just got done beating the shit out of that dude that you went and confronted. Who knows? I guess that's how they make their relationship work. And they've been married for a long time, so it works for them. So go break some glass and
I guess so.
Mark goes and beat some ass.
Yeah, and my number two, speaking of Mark, after he finds out that Donnie is the one that had done that to Megan in the childhood, I can't look at you while I'm talking because of this whole dog.
I know every time I look at you, I'm just like, I just start.
You gotta look away, exactly. but Mark pulling Donnie over and it all being caught on his dash cam makes me worried, because I have a lot more respect for Mark now than I did in the first couple of episodes. I just didn't like him at all. Now he does seem like he's an okay guy. He's kind of making peace with Kyle. That's probably part of why I feel a little more comfortable with him.
I don't know. I mean, I understand Chief Giles. He's the chief. In this town of Rome, West Virginia. He doesn't seem like the bust your ass type. He seems like the, all right, you know, that dude deserved to get his ass beat. I'm going to look the other way on this one. But that might not happen. I don't blame Mark at all. I would have definitely wanted to beat the living hell out of that dude. The fact that he could come up to me, if I was Mark, I'm sitting there having dinner with my wife, and he comes up and, you know, tries to chat me up. And I don't know who this person is, but that person knows who he is to Megan.
Right.
This complete trash, douchebag, like scum of the earth guy. I will say that the guy that played Donnie, excellent job on his part. He played that role to a T. I'm going to feel bad for him because he's probably going to get hatred when the more people that see the show and they see that character, they're going to be like, man, fuck that Donnie guy. He deserves to die. But I am worried about Mark. I'm worried that they just can't communicate together on this. I feel like that's going to have maybe going to cause some issues down the road between.
How would she not have told him who it was? I mean, that would have been the first thing I would have done when dude walks up to the table. As soon as he walks away, it's like, you know, that's the guy. Although, I mean, I can see they were trying to have a nice night out. I get that. I don't know. They do seem like maybe they have some communication issues. Okay, my number one was the conversation that Kyle and the Reverend have as they're, you know, driving down the road. They've just left from Mildred's house. And when Kyle comes to they both come to the realization that Mildred, who they thought the Reverend had exorcised her demons, doesn't look like that actually came true. And the fact that maybe there's other people in their life that they thought were demon free and aren't, like Allison. I thought that was super, super tense. So I did love the way they ramped up this episode. The last few minutes were extremely tense for me.
Yeah, there definitely was a lot of intense moments in this episode. And Kyle, now with knowing the Reverend has failed on so many attempts to get these demons out of these people, now he's fearful of Allison. How can you blame the dude? Because, you know, he sees Mildred and he sees Blake that they met in episode three, they met Blake and, you know, they can't get the demons out of these certain people. And it's like, is this demon still lingering in Allison? That was probably my number three moment in the episode was Reverend Anderson's reveal of his favorite sin is pride.
Yeah.
That was something we talked about in previous recaps, whether or not Reverend Anderson is going to eventually want to confront Kyle and be like, hey, dude, why you keep busting my balls here? Like, yeah, you got this gift, but you don't even appreciate it. You don't even know what you're doing with this gift. And I like that in this episode, Reverend Anderson came to him first. I was prideful. I thought I was doing too good of a job, and I couldn't see what was right in front of me, that this person is still possessed and that I can be fooled. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I love the Rev when he says certain things. I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, I like it every time. Well, every time he cusses, funny that you would say damn it. Every time he cusses, it just cracks me up. And you talk to God with that mouth, Kyle asks him.
That was great. My other top three, number two would be Megan's badassery in this episode. I thought she was great. I love the fact that they've changed that up from the comic books. They're giving her so much more material to deal with this whole Donnie situation in the comic books. In this episode in the show, I mean, it's full on balls to the wall. She's going out there confronting Donnie. It was great. I love whenever she said, you were just a bump in the road. You were something I scraped off my foot a long time ago. It was great. I loved every moment that Megan had in this episode. Ren Schmidt, she's playing Megan. I think she's doing a phenomenal job.
Well, and for those that don't know you, pasty redheaded girls are your, you know.
They
yeah.
are the best.
Exactly.
I love them. Oh, I know what it was. The line that I liked with Rev and Kyle in this episode, it was the one where he said Kyle was asking him about how the hell does he find all these demons? Does he have a bat phone in his church? That was my favorite line between them two. And then my number one, good God, Mildred was everything in this episode. Holy shit.
And she's so great, too. And one of my shows that I loved on HBO was Big Love. And she was one of the major characters in that. And I've loved her ever since. She can do creepy really, really well.
Yeah, she can do creepy really well. I cannot find her name for the life of me. There it is. Grace Zabriskie. She was phenomenal in this episode. I loved all her interactions with Kyle. Whenever she freaking said everything goes to shit eventually, and she said, just like your marriage.
Yeah.
Man, that was a crazy, crazy line that she delivered. She's definitely a wicked old biatch, and I love everything that she does in this episode. It's so, so great. She's very interesting as a character because when she jumps out at Reverend Anderson, like she's going to attack him, and it brings him right back in those flashbacks.
Yeah. Just kind of giggles about it afterwards, you know. I hope we see a lot more of her.
I do,
and
too.
I think because the actress is, she's a great actress, and I feel like they've cast her in a good role that hopefully she'll stick around, because I like creepy people like that.
No,
not in
too.
My real life, but only on TV.
That's for damn sure. I can't wait to see more of her as well. All right, so what is your score out of Bacon's?
I actually came up quite a bit on this episode. I gave this a 4.5 Bacon score. So it was so much more interesting than episode 3. What
yes.
about for you?
I think I'm going to go 4.25 Bacon's on this episode. I thought it was definitely a vast, vast improvement from episode 3. And I love the fact that Chief Giles, we find out that he is not actually doing shady shit.
Right.
Because I think that he actually is on the good guy's side. I was a little bit worried that he was in Reverend Anderson's life for a reason, maybe to keep close tabs on him and basically kind of steer him clear of doing anything against these demons. Then again, Reverend Anderson, he can't do anything against them anyway because he's not exercised any of the demons, which really sucks for him. That's definitely got to be a confidence breaker for sure.
Yeah.
But I love that. The fact that Chief Giles, he's not ultimately a bad guy. Whenever he was cooking, that was another thing I really liked. It brought me back to House of Cards, his character Freddy on House of Cards. They can make the badass ribs.
Oh, is he the rib guy?
He is definitely the rib guy.
Okay.
In House of Cards. Blah, blah, blah. I'm very, very intrigued on finding out everything about Ogden, what the hell that dude is doing. I just don't know. It's what I'm liking about this show so much is that, yes, it is a slow burn. I can understand if a lot of viewers have been like, it's a little bit too slow for me, because I know I posted something on social media and Hank, who does the Killjoys podcast with me, he immediately responded back and said, I had to tap out. It was much, much too slow for me. But for me, I like that because we get a lot of character development. And then eventually this comic is, it's just, it's crazy. There's crazy, crazy shit in the comic book, and it's coming, people. So like, if you're afraid that, well, it's a little bit too slow for me, just wait, you know, and enjoy this nice character development that we're getting in the first four episodes of the show, because all the batshit crazy insane stuff is coming pretty soon.
Yeah. And well, and the nice thing about us trying to catch up on these episodes is we get episode number 5 today. So tonight.
Yay.
I know. That's so awesome.
It is very awesome. So let us know all your thoughts on the episode in the comment box down below, or you can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. Thanks so much for watching as we rambled on about Outcast Season 1, Episode 4, Wrath Unseen. And we'll be back to discuss Episode 5.
I'm going to go shave, I think.